is the way to the Father. He is the way for my salvation. He is the way for my breakthrough. He is my everything. Oh, everything, everything in my life. Oh, He is my everything. For everything, my everything in my life. Jesus is the way.
Shepherding. So our future in God is good. God has a good plan for our lives. Hallelujah. Can you tell your neighbor, God has a good plan for your life? Can we go together to the book of Jeremiah 29, verse 11? It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So here, the Lord is giving us an understanding. I have good plan for your life. The plan is to prosper you. It says this plan is for your future and for your hope. And as we come before the Lord, it's going to help us to have an understanding that God has a good plan for your life, to prosper you, to secure you, to make sure that you move forward without any disablement. God's plan is revealed as we search Him. God's plan in our life is revealed as we search for Him. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Most people, they want to know about God. They want to know God. They want to have fellowship with God. But they are not willing themselves. They are not willing to search. They will not pray. They will not seek the face of God. They just want the goodness of the Lord, but they do not want to pay the price for it. May the Lord have mercy. So the Bible gives us that understanding, Jeremiah 29:13, "And you will seek me and find me," and He says, "When you search for me with all of your heart, you will find God." Hallelujah. May you find the Lord this morning in the name of Jesus. We have got few pointers that we are going to teach on today about shepherding and loving Jesus this morning. One of our tenets or cornerstone is that we believe that you are a leader. We believe that you are well able to do more. We believe that you are capable to show forth strength, wisdom, and ability of God, and that you are being empowered. Even as we teach in the word and in the scriptures, I like saying, I came to church as a visitor, and because of my commitment, the love for the things of God, the little instructions that were given that I followed, they enabled me to become a disciple. And in time, I was entrusted with a little bit more. And consistently as I moved forward, more people were given unto me. Hallelujah. So I want to challenge you this morning in the name of Jesus that to be able to do more is to force yourself to do the things that don't look to be really things you enjoy. In life, we don't do things we enjoy. The people who do the things they enjoy, they are very lazy. Because you will always look at it. I've heard somebody says, "It's not my gift." I said, "You are not serious." When you go to work, they don't only give you the things that you have gone to school to study. In a sense, most of the time when we work, it's not even anything that we have done at school. For you to become the top of the top, you have to exert yourself, push yourself so that you are able to do that which will be required of you. And even with ourselves, to shepherd or to allow ourselves to be shepherded, it is going to take our willingness. The greatest honor, I was sharing yesterday with the leaders, and part of the challenge that I would like to give to the church as well, is that people sometimes they think greatness is when you have maybe much, or greatness is humility. Those who are not in the cells, those who don't have a cell leader, shepherd over their life, is because they are not humble. They have pride. They reason things. Can you imagine if your children have to reason, you've been their father or their mother? And sometimes, in the church, we have made things easier for people. In essence, when you are in church, we don't have many options. Did you know? But the world we live in breeds rebellion. The world we live in breeds discontent. It's what the world that we live in, the fermentation of rebellion consistently grows in us. And therefore, I want to challenge us and remind us that as a church, we are a cell church. We are not a church with cells. And we have shepherds or cell leaders, those that lead, guide, and direct us. Hallelujah. So to be a shepherd is a great honor. Can you tell your neighbor, to be a shepherd is a great honor? Can you tell your neighbor, to be shepherded is a great honor? Praise the Lord. So every one of us needs to be led. You need to be led. You need to submit yourself to be led. I've got a few points that I want to take along together with you. For those that are here who are possibly not our members and maybe you are visiting, in our church we believe you are a leader. We believe you must be led to lead. We believe you must be submitted for others to submit to you. We believe you must be happy to come into church. We believe that you should not be critical, but you should inquire. You know, people become critical without inquiring. You should become a very good person to want to build together with. Don't lose hope, having not make an effort to get an understanding why things are done the way they are done. Hallelujah. So, to shepherd, to be led in the cell, or to be a cell member, or to be led in the cell, leading a cell, number one, leading a cell makes you a good leader. And being in the cell makes you a good leader and a good follower. Being in the cell, leading a cell makes you a good leader. Being a shepherd makes you a good leader. Being in the cell makes you a good follower. John chapter 10 verse 14. It says, I am a good shepherd. That's Jesus speaking. I know my sheep and I'm known by my own. So, do you have a shepherd? Can you ask your neighbor, do you have a shepherd? Ask them, who is your shepherd? Everybody in the church must have a shepherd. There must be somebody you are accountable. The reason why we say go to the cell is that you should have somebody that you are accountable to. Hallelujah. Number two, shepherding is a gateway to your high place for promotion. When you shepherd, when you become a leader or you become a follower in the cell, you are opening a door for yourself to go up, to grow, to be magnified, to be glorified. Hallelujah. To be above. We like saying you will be above only and not beneath. Hallelujah. May that be your story in the name of Jesus. You will be the first and not the last. Genesis chapter 41, verse 41. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. So vision will promote you in the same way. The example I like giving is that I came to church like any other person. When I was given responsibility, sometimes I was even shocked because I would be just asked, can you do this, having not prepared? Some Christian today, if I was to say to you, here's a mic, I'm not able to preach, people are going to be offended. They'll tell me, you want to set me up for failure. You see, when we grew up in our day, we will sing, praise and worship, and it will go for an hour. We don't pray, we don't sing here. We will sing praise, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, worship, another 40 minutes to an hour. And while they are doing that, if you see the senior leader in the church looking like this, you start praying. Because they might come and say, we feel in the spirit. here's the mic, preach please. And don't think preaching will take 2 minutes. They're expecting much from you. I don't know you understand. Yes. So that is the challenge we have when we are being led and when we are leading others, we are being pushed to a higher place. A vision will promote you. To be a shepherd is a gateway to promotion. John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus says, Jesus is the good shepherd. He says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Entering through the cell, you are entering through the door. The cell leader is the door of the sheep. You are the door. Can you tell your neighbor, you are the door? You are my door. Yeah, Jesus offended people. You don't understand. When Jesus was saying to all the priests, the high priest and others, I am the door, they knew what he's talking about. They became very offended. You, the door. When you listen to some of the things that they said to him, we will not listen to an illegitimate child. Yeah. That's when they started to become personal. So, you have to have understanding that as a leader, as a shepherd, as a follower, you are becoming a door to lead others. As a cell leader, you are the door to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Number three, cell leading and shepherding will bring you glory and honor. Yeah. The Bible says desire, mostly desire spiritual things. All of us must desire to serve in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Cell leading, being a shepherd, will bring you glory and honor. Psalms chapter 8 verse 5 says, yet you have made him a little lower than heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Hallelujah. As you build others, your life will be builded yourself. As you comfort others, your life will be comforted in the name of Jesus. As you celebrate others, your life will be celebrated in the name of Jesus. Number four, shepherding gives you power to live. When you go to cell, as a follower, as you go to the cell, you get the power to live. When you follow Jesus, when you love Jesus, you receive power to live. When you receive Jesus, you receive power to live. When you follow the shepherd, when you follow your cell leader, you are getting life. The Bible says the rebellious dwell in the dry land. When you rebel in the cell, you're not rebelling to the young boy or to the young girl. You are rebelling to me. I'm the senior shepherd in the church. Whosoever is the cell leader, they did not make themselves cell leaders. Can you tell your neighbor, my cell leader represents Apostle Vincent. My rebellion to my cell leader. You are not talking. My rebellion to my cell leader is a rebellion to Apostle Vincent. My submission to my cell leader. My submission to my shepherd is my submission to Apostle Vincent. It's straightforward. It's not difficult. I'm asking somebody. Tell your neighbor it's easy. It's just your attitude. Hallelujah. I watched one day, Pastor Caesar was praying for people. He called Europeans. You know, Europeans. He wanted to pray for them. And then there were some few South American pastors. Some of them have got like 30, 40, 50,000 members. They are big pastors. But European pastors, their churches are not big. Talking 100, 50, if they're doing well, 200, and so forth. And while he was praying for them, he lays hands. These big pastors with big churches, when he lays hands on them, you know, he will exert his pressure for them to bow. Like, he puts his hand, and then they will kneel nicely. You know, can you come, Pastor Jeff? Let me show. Come and stand here. Please, follow my instruction. You should go nicely and slow. On your knees, kneel down properly. Yeah, who did that? Praise the Lord. Most will do like that. They will go down. But the Europeans, he will do like this, and they will be standing. You know, I watched with interest. And he held them, and he pushed them, and he pushed. Have you seen when you go down without intent? How painful it is. I've seen it. And I said to myself, I don't want to be like those guys. They are not willing to receive from this man, but they are following him. Why did they bother to come anyway? Why did they say they are members of the G12 churches? When they are told to do something, they are not willing to do it. In the cell, it's the same way. The cell leader is not doing that out of their own accord. They are being asked by ourselves as leaders, can you do this for me? So in the cell, when they say everybody kneel down and they are struggling with you, you are rebelling. I've told people many times, I say, in the church, we don't have an issue if you don't fall, we pray for you. But there are pastors who will come and push you intentionally. It's not for you to say. Then you are a fool. Yes, you are a fool. You came forward to be prayed for. There is a cashier at the back. So when we push you, what do? You fall. Because your blessing is not in your rebellion. It's not in yourself. Because you do not know. Because people will say, oh, pastor pushed me. Then you are in the flesh. No, it's true. You are in the flesh. In the church, we don't have an issue about those things. They don't add or subtract us. But you have to have a very high discernment to follow the spiritual things. And that way you will win. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Can we give a clap for offering to the Lord? So the challenge we have is that they say the more we feel about ourselves, the more some people get offended. After that, they become offended. After they were prayed, they became offended. That what he did in front of 20-something thousand people, why did he do that? Why? And I said, why did you go forward? Why did you come forward? You want to be prayed for? You want to be prayed according to your way? You remember the big general, was it the Syrian general, who went to Elisha and said to Elisha, pray for me. Elisha says, then go to Jordan and dip yourself 7 times. And he started arguing. He says, don't you think we have better rivers? Your river is full of mud. And it's true. Jordan River is muddy. It's silt. You can see it. And he says, our river, when it flows, is clear. The water is clean. So the servant had to say to him, you forgot why you came here. You came here. You are the one who needs help. It's not this man who needs lecturing about clean water or dirty water. It's you who needs what? Yeah, you are the one who needs to receive. I've seen people offended in the church. They pack their bags, leave. Many years after, they come Nicodemously because they know they left something when they left. I don't know, you get it. It's a waste of time. So in the cell, have the same attitude. Don't say, no, Jordan River has got dirty water. Just kneel down, get into the water. And the servant said to him, get into the water. And he went. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. The Bible says when he came out, he was what? He was clean. Even yourself, when you submit yourself in the cell, some things don't make sense in the beginning. Can you tell your neighbor, most of things don't make sense in the beginning? Yes, most of things don't make sense in the beginning. Everybody wants to be his own man. Everybody wants to be his own boss. But without humility, I wouldn't be where I am. There's no man who made himself. Don't be a fool. Everybody survived because somebody has shown grace to them. Everybody's moving forward because somebody showed kindness to them. Somebody's doing well because somebody has given a word about them. So even with ourselves, when you come to cell, have that understanding. Be a good follower. Be a good shepherd. Do what you are asked to do. Preach what you are asked to preach. Hallelujah. Don't come. We had many years ago, we had a leader in the church. When we said, let us preach this way, when he arrives there, he said to the cell members, these things, they are small things. Let's do topics. What topic do you want us to discuss in the cell? It was a big cell. The cell reduced until nobody was in the cell. And ultimately, because of rebellion goes with pride. And the Bible says when pride comes, a fall is not far. And when you fall, it becomes spectacular. You can't even hide it. Am I telling somebody? Can you tell your neighbor, let's be humbled? Yes. To be a shepherd is humility. To be in the cell, humility. To be in the church, to be a church member, takes humility. You don't come to church and start to argue how you are supposed to be treated. Am I talking to somebody? Please don't do that. Tell your neighbor, please don't do that. Because shepherding gives you power to live. When you follow Jesus, you will have life. You rebel against Jesus, you won't have life. Number five, being a cell leader will preserve you from destruction and wickedness. Following Jesus protects us from wickedness and destruction. We will not be destroyed. The book of Genesis 50, verse 19. And Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God?" This is after his brothers have planned, schemed, desired for his downfall. They sold him because they were jealous of his success and his breakthrough, the prophetic words that were spoken, the dreams that he had, and they felt, "You will not have it, not in our lifetime." May the Lord have mercy on us. I said, may the Lord have mercy on us. Number six, shepherding enhances our dignity. When we lead, we become dignified. When we lead well, hallelujah. When we follow, and we follow well, we will be dignity will be restored upon our life. Genesis chapter 41, verse 51. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. I said Genesis 41, verse 51. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. "For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." Here we see, because Joseph followed as he was being led in prison. The Bible tells us the prison master said to him, "I want you to care for other things." He didn't say, "I'm a prisoner as well." No. He says, "I will work." Who was getting the order? It was the prison master. It was the jailer who was honored. The king will say, "Oh, when I went to the prison, it's cleaner." Prisons are not clean. People don't even care much about, in certain countries, in South Africa it's better. In certain countries, we are told, in Zimbabwe, we had one young man, I was inquiring about him. They told me, he's arrested. And the man who was telling me says, "You don't know." He says, "Here in Zimbabwe, they don't give food in prison. The family has to bring food." Then he says, "You must go to prison and see." He says, "If you are arrested, you are going to serve 5 years, you will die." He says, "You will die." He says, "People are emaciated, they are finished. So when you come with food, you have not only to come with for your brother or for your sister." He says, "No, it's not like that." So I said to him, "How many years is he going?" He says, 2 years. He says, "Every time we have to go, at least every second day we must take food there because nobody's going to give him food." I don't know if you understand. Some things, they look easy, but they are difficult, isn't it? Isn't it? Yes. So you must be open to allow yourself to be led. Then you will be free. You will be set free. You will prosper. God will make you to forget your toil. God will make you to forget. You know, leading people is difficult. Being a cell leader is tough. Oh, you play games. Leading people is not easy. You know yourself, isn't it? Tell your neighbor, you know yourself, you are difficult. Tell your neighbor, you know yourself, you are difficult. Yeah, you are very difficult. We don't take things easy. We fight every time. May the Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. When we are shepherding gives us the ability to rule in life. When we lead and when we submit ourselves, give us the opportunity to lead in life. You will be given the opportunity. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 1. It says, "If you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." Hallelujah. John chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." You cannot lead without sacrifice. Can you tell your neighbor, you cannot lead without sacrifice? Some of you are not talking. Can you tell your neighbor, you cannot lead without sacrifice? You must be a sacrifice. Hallelujah. All great things come to those who sacrifice. Yeah. To go to school, to be a doctor, takes many years. Tanyani told us it took him 10 years Other doctors take 12, 13 years. I listened to somebody saying, because he specialized and specialized and specialized, he was talking about 18 years being in school. I said, shoo, that's a long time. That's a long time. I'm not talking from grade 1 to grade 12. No, that's good. That we don't call school. It's elementary learning, just being able to learn 1 plus 1. That's fine. Then by matric is then that we can say, now go and learn something worthwhile. Am I to somebody? May the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord have mercy on us. Number 8, shepherding will make you to stay on course. When you lead others, you will stay on course. I was saying to the leaders yesterday, I'm on course not because I'm strong, but because I'm leading others. There are certain things I cannot do, not because I cannot do, but for your sake I will not do. Yes. Why will I want to do those things? If I do those things, I'll destroy your life. So I will choose not to do. I will not do those things, even if Paul, when he talks about it, says there are things that are permissible. But he says for him, they are not permissible. Other people can say, behave, shout at other people, do certain things the way they like. The other day, I gave an example of this man, the motorbiker who was shot in Johannesburg. To say, here are the two people who don't know each other. They are meeting on the street. I've made my mind, road rage, I will not be angry to anyone on the road. You are the boss. I will not fight you. Even if you bump my car, I'm not going to come out and shout at you. I'll stay in my car until my temper and my temperature comes down. Because, can you imagine, for about 10, maybe 30 seconds, the two people engaged, they don't know each other. One is white, one is African. The other has got a gun, you can see it. He came and maybe because of his gun, he spoke. When he turned, the African guy pulled his gun, cocked it, and called him, hey. When he looked, boom, 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 boom. 30 seconds. You left your house happy. You were an excited person. Let me tell you, going to cell makes you to be disciplined, to stay on course. You see, yesterday we went to win souls. There are certain things that start to drop from your life. The more you are on the street sharing the gospel to others, you are becoming, you are staying on course. You start to realize, I can no longer do these things. You are starting to meet people you are going with to school. You are meeting your friends at work. We were talking to one young woman. I said to her, I was with Pastor Kay, and we were talking. And she was very excited. We haven't seen each other for a long time. She comes from my area where I grew up. And I said to my, after she told us what she's doing, my wife says, oh, you are working with so-and-so. He's born again, he's a Christian. And the person looked at my wife and said, who? We don't know him as a Christian. He's a womanizer, that man. I tell you, we were shocked. The reason why he's not on course is because he's playing the game. When you follow, when you ask, we are going to be here tomorrow, let us come. Sometimes all of us have got fear. But because you are being led and you are the leader, you come to stay on course. Some of us are off course because we are not focusing on the course that is given to us. We are not good followers. We are not a good shepherd. Deuteronomy 5, verse 32 to 33. It says, you shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. May this be your story in Jesus' name. Being a leader, being a shepherd, being a cell leader, being a cell member will change your story. My story has changed. Yeah, my story has changed. Big time. My story has changed. Your story has changed as well in Jesus' name. Yes. Being a shepherd, your story is bound to change. Your story is bound to change. You will be, the Bible says, you will be a father of many nations. Genesis chapter 12, Verse 2 says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. When you lead others, you become a blessing to them. Yes. You become a leader, you are blessing others. It's very surprising when you listen to people talk about you, things that even yourself you didn't know. You know, recently we buried my grandmother, and all the greater part of our family came. And my uncle was talking to them. So we did reintroductions. So he had to introduce me. I listened to him talk about me, and I didn't know that that's how he takes me. And I realized that he has really pushed me too high. I was saying to myself, I'm wondering when I live here, how am I going to live my life? Because these family members, they know me, I know them. Some of them, I don't know them. Now he's trying to tell them the person that I am. And I realize the introduction is too big. He's making it too difficult for me to live my life. You will be afraid to drink a glass of water because people are watching you. I'm going to tell somebody, let me tell you your story. The gospel of Jesus Christ will change your story when you commit fully in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Number 10, shepherding guarantees you God's help. Let me tell you, you are going to get a lot of help when you are a cell leader. When you are in the cell, you'll get a lot of help. When you allow yourself to be discipled, to be matured, to be grown, when others are crying, when others feel they are outside. The Bible says the rebellious dwell in the dry land. The rebellious. I heard a story, it's a very painful story this morning. We're talking with my wife, and she told me, you know, so and so. I said, He says, you won't believe. He married a man. He's a man who married a man. Used to be in our church. I say, hey. He says, yeah, it's true. I say, shoo. Scary things. Yeah. Scary things. Scary things. God will send you help. Yeah. When you are rebellious, you won't get help. You use your human wisdom. You will deny the word of God upon your life. And then the Bible tells us the rebellious dwell where? In a dry land. You'll get finished. Become a fool. Your wisdom become useless. Because what the scripture says is true. It says such people, their wisdom will be turned into foolishness. Imagine somebody. May the Lord have mercy on us. When you are a shepherd or cell leader, or you are being led in the cell, your enemies will be destroyed. That's what the Bible teaches us. Psalm 23, verse 5. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Hallelujah. David killed the lion and the bear. Many years ago, somebody was very annoyed. I don't know what I did to them. He says, who make you king? Who make you king? I said, I didn't know I was a king. I don't know, you get it. Yeah, he says, who made you king? I will understand if he says, who make you leader? But he really pushed it too high. Who made you king? Who made you king? And I said, now I understand that others know my status, even though I'm not conscious of my status. Yes, other people know your place. They will tell you, even in their anger, they will tell you where you are seated. The Bible says we are seated high above. Yes, we are seated far above principalities and powers. That's where you are seated. Tell your neighbor, that's where you are seated. Jesus, when he came so that we will destroy the powers of darkness and the powers of the enemy upon our life. Number 12, shepherding will promote you. The book of Psalms 75, verse 6. This is my last but one point. For exaltation comes rather neither from the east nor from the west, but it comes not from the south, but it comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Vision will change your life. It will change your level. Hallelujah. Vision will transform and make you. Hallelujah. So I want to remind you that all of us have the opportunity to be great ministers of the kingdom of God. The book of John, chapter 10, verse 14, is my last verse. Whatever verse I'll quote, it will come from my head, but not from my notes. It says, I am a good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my sheep. Hallelujah. Jesus is our shepherd. I stand here today with confidence. I was saying yesterday to the leaders, after I went to African Union, and they started to give us a report 4 years ago, I repented and turned from my high horse of self-righteousness. They told us that in Ethiopia is the number one country in the whole continent of Africa that has the highest abortion rate. But Israel is number one in the world. Can you believe it? Israel is number one. They are doing, according to, it's like when they say South Africa is number one in HIV infections and whatever, they use averages and percentages in terms of the total population. That day I repented. I started to realize that in the church, you can come to church and live a false life. You can live a false life all your life. And I ask myself, who am I fooling? If I'm not truthful to myself, then I'm not going to make heaven. But to all the people, I look like I'm this guy. I don't know, you get it. You know, I'm putting on my suit, you're looking at me, I look this righteous man. But truly, I'm not. All the things that I do, they look right. But the motives and all the things that are in me, they really separate me away from the real right path. I might be better than others, because much of the problem with Christians is that because you are coming to church, you think you are better than others. But it is sin that is taking us to hell. It's our rebellion to refuse to change. And that day I made a commitment to the Lord. I said, forgive me. That this is the mindset that I fed. That day I made up my mind. I will never criticize any other man of God. I made up my mind. I said, I'll talk if it, even in the church, the pastors, they know, I tell them, we don't criticize. We don't know where the person comes from. We don't know what they are going through. The only thing we can do is to pray for others. And to pray for ourselves that we will be found on the right path. Am I talking to somebody? We're going to pray. I want you to pray for yourself. Being a shepherd, being a member of the church, does not necessarily qualify you to go to heaven. Being a member of Emmanuel Christian Church doesn't mean you are going to go to heaven unless you live a right life, unless you please the Lord, unless you do the mandate of Jesus. There are many who go to church, but they don't love Jesus. I told you my stories when we pray for people. Somebody came and says, they sent me to your church. They said I will be healed when I come here. I asked them, are you born again? And they said, no, I came to be healed. No, they were honest. They didn't want Jesus. They just want to be healed. So, in other words, they even removed Jesus from the healing in my life. I'm a sangoma of some sort. I must conjure some miracle for them, and then they must live here healed, and they are happy about it. And that is why sometimes people, after they are healed and whatever, they'll buy a car to pay you. They are grateful. Give you a house, they are grateful. Give you money, they are grateful. And that's a good thing. But it's a mistake to think by doing that you're going to heaven. In the church, why we go to sell and why we want you to be a leader is because these things, they will perfect your course. Paul said, follow me as I do what? As I follow Christ. So all of us, we are following because we want to be like Jesus. And I pray that all of us who are here want to be just like Jesus. We want to give our life to God. He says, I do what I see my Father do. It's not saying, Paul was saying, I'm the real deal, follow me. Whatever, where I'm stepping on, please step there. What I'm doing, please do it. Then you are guaranteed we are on the right course. He set a very high standard for himself. May the same be true of us. Can we bow our heads together this morning as we pray? Can we close our eyes, please? I want you to pray for yourself that may the grace of God come upon us, that we may not be hypocrites who come to church, but that we may be people who are fully committed to God, who loves the Lord, who desires great things, and that we may be true. If we are liars to others, may we be true to ourselves. Can we come before the Lord? All eyes closed, all heads bowed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. We give you praise. We are grateful, Father, of your presence, the power of your Holy Spirit upon us. We commit our life to you. I pray this morning, Father, for each every man, woman, and child in this place. We commit ourselves to you. We desire your movement upon us, O God. We desire that, Lord, you will do a new thing in our hearts. That, Lord, you will transform us and renew us. I commit this morning each and every church member, each and every visitor here, that, Lord, our heart will turn from just living a life, just coming to church, but, Lord, that we will give ourselves fully to love you, to be truthful to ourselves and to those that are around us. As leaders, O Lord, may we be genuine and honest about our life, even our own struggles and pain. Father, may you give us the strength to overcome.
Above our name, I saw